Welcome to a special edition of the NAWC, literally minutes after the night one of the UK tournament. I am here with the host of the NAWC, Nikki Heyman. How are you?
I'm doing very well, actually, and I'm going to have a British accent stuck in my throat for the rest of the night for all of the voices I've heard this evening.
Yes, okay. So let me pull up the results. We literally saw 8 matches, and I just want you to think, what did you think of the general presentation, the general feel of the show?
This reminds me of something I watched over the summer, actually.
Which was?
The Cruiserweight Classic. It has a very similar feel.
Okay.
It's an attempt, they're trying to be just as, you know, formal. I don't want to use the word proper because that only applies to Tyler Bate.
Yes.
The taking the Ring of Honor model that they used in the Cruiserweight Classic and brought it here, the sign of respect at the beginning, most times the guys would shake hands.
Yes, exactly. It's sort of that. And hell, they took a Ring of Honor announcer, Nigel McGuinness, who was very good. Tonight.
I could listen to him all night, but I'm also slightly biased because he was part of the HWA scene in 03 to 06. Mm-hmm. And I got to see a lot of his work before he moved south and unfortunately had to step away from the ring. I blame TNA. Can I?
Yeah. Well, I don't know where he got the hepatitis C from. But so the show opened up with another one of those NXT style Triple H intros, basically saying, "Hey, I'm God. Thank me for bringing this to you."
Yes, I am your king. Here is your tournament. You're welcome.
Yeah, and,
signed, the evil king, Dr. Levesque.
Yes. Yes, pretty much. So you had Michael Cole, who was okay. He was pretty good.
He was doing all right. I don't think he had Vince shouting in his ear, so he was able to actually pay attention to the matches.
He only botched maybe one thing, I think.
There was only a couple of things that didn't sound right. A couple of words he fumbled over. I'm not gonna dwell on it.
Right.
He was tolerable, and Nigel backed him up because I know Cole doesn't know a whole lot about the British wrestling scene, or at least he doesn't strike me as somebody who knows anything about the UK wrestling scene.
Right.
Short of the handful of people that have come to the WWE, which is why Balor's name came up a lot. That's why Becky Lynch's name came up a lot. Sheamus was mentioned a few times.
That's right. And you had Dave Taylor and the two companies that provided a lot of the talent, which were Progress Wrestling and ICW. They're basically saying, thank you for giving us the talent. And they're saying, don't take all of it, please.
Yeah. It's like, you know, thanks for the plug, but don't take our talent. How are we supposed to draw?
Yes, and you know what this is doing to me? Because it's like, okay, let me see what these guys can do. Maybe I'll order a DVD from them. Maybe I'll look them up and see what they do. You know, that sort of thing.
And that's where Progress and ICW should be thanking their lucky stars. This is going to get people to their gimmick tables, in their websites. They're going to go look up what these guys can do. You know, you hear names that you do know for these guys that are out in front of you that you might not know. You say, holy shit, he worked with Dave Taylor? Ooh, he was trained by Balor? You know, names like Daniel Bryan and Fit Finlay got thrown around a couple of times. Okay. You know, if you've been in
the... So does Brian Kendrick was in there, too.
Yeah. I heard Kendrick's name at least once or twice. Lance Storm's name came up. I'm like, you know, okay. You know, you've thrown enough names that any wrestling fan who has been a fan for at least a decade is going to say, I got to look some of this up.
And that's the point.
Exactly. The evil boss is doing this right. I'm giving you money in the sense that you are going to have bigger crowds and more interest and more money, you know, more purchases from fans if you will let us have first crack at your talent. And we, you know, in exchange, we're giving you a world voice.
Yes. because the WWE Network is in, you know, pretty much the entire world.
Yes.
Right, it's got 2 million, almost 2 million subscribers. You know, there you go. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Exactly. So
let's talk about some of the talent we saw. We start with a guy by the name of Trent Seven versus H.C. Dyer. It was an okay beginning match. And, you know, Seven won with the 7-star lariat. Do you think the right guy went over in that one?
Yeah, Dyer needs something. Trent Seven looks ready for TV to me. Mm-hmm. Dyer, okay, you know, you're a rough and tumble guy. So are all these guys, by the way.
Right. And there was
what else?
And I will say this, and I apologize for interrupting. The guys who we think should be moved up or at least signed or looked at were guys who were more distinctive than anybody else. And we'll talk about a lot more of them later. That's why Dyer wasn't one of them, sadly.
I mean, I want to appreciate everybody in this tournament, and the video packages help a lot. So if you get some, you start sneaking your character into that video, give me something to work with. Dyer really didn't do that. Trent Seven has this mischievous look in his eyes, a wonderful story. The jokes about Mustache Mountain, which the UK crowd just absolutely drank. And I'm like, okay, here's somebody I want to go back and look up.
Yep, not bad. So we move on to match two, which I agree with you was the least. They were not on the same page. It was Danny Burch and Jordan Devlin.
Yeah,
Devlin won with a controversial 3-count after legit busting Burch. Ow! With a back kick to the head.
I saw he had kick pads on, but I'm guessing at the base of the boots, you know, right at the base of the laces, there's a metal piece.
Yeah.
That's probably what got Burch in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to need staples. He was bleeding bad.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that I feel like Devlin was just slowly turned heel through the course of the match.
Mm-hmm.
That. They, you know, they brought him in saying, hey, look, a student of Finn Balor's. And then the crowd chanted, but you're not Balor. Do you feel like there was an audible called there?
Could be. Don't know. You're not Balor. But you want to know something?
What?
I liked what he did because he also kicked him in the head afterwards. However, it's funny. His heel tactics will be pretty much forgotten, as we'll find out later on.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So then we have, I think, one of the funniest matches of the night. Sam Gradwell, is it Bradwell or Gradwell?
Gradwell, with a G.
With a G. Versus Saxon Hush Huxley, whose nickname was Muscle Cat, but the fans branded him Jesus. Because, well, for the lack of a better term, he looked like him.
he did. And I'm just sitting here. Should I be watching the match or should I be listening to the crowd? Should I watch the match or should I listen to the crowd? I have never heard a Jesus Sucks chant. Good on you, UK fans. Oh, my God.
I'm going to go to hell when I die. I'm going to go to hell. And it's like, let's go, Jesus. Jesus sucks.
John Cena's going.
Yeah,
I can't hate that.
No, and then of course, you know, hey Jesus, will you be my guy? You know, getting the Bailey. Like, wow, you British bastards are just you guys are cold blooded.
You guys are crazy, and that's you know. And I mean, WWE already said that. You know, you guys are busting our nuts while we're trying to, you know, while we're trying to bust our ass in the ring.
Yeah. Exactly.
And wrestlers love that crap.
Well, some do, some don't.
Some do, some don't. But you know, the wrestling Jesus thing might have taken away from what was otherwise a very solid match.
Right.
And I swear, Gradwell has been watching Regal's tapes ever since he was 5 years old.
Yes, and fact being from Blackpool, yes, and he won with a flying headbutt, which he missed totally, but hey, Huxley sold it, so that's all
right.
That. Yes. Okay. So then we got to see the one of the two wrestling icons, Dave Taylor. Okay.
Yes.
Dave Taylor. And then we had, in my opinion, the guy who should be offered a contract yesterday. The Bruiserweight Pete Dunne versus Roy Johnson. They told a great story here. Dunne was the 11-year veteran and Johnson was the 2-year rookie.
Yeah, he was a second-year guy. He's an upstart. You know, he feels like he should be there. And Don's like, no. And beats his ass.
And he was a dick the whole way. He reminded me of a British Kevin Owens. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
In the unrepentant dick mode.
Yes.
Sort of deal. And, you know, and he wins with the bitter end, which was a pump handle flatliner. Johnson was good, but Dunne was better. And Dunne, you should be signing him yesterday. Seriously. He's that good, at least to me.
And putting it, yeah. And putting, well, and those two, when those two face, well, Dunne gets Gradwell tomorrow.
Yes.
That match is going to be so stiff. It might come with a TVMA rating.
Yeah. Parental discretion is advised, yes.
Yeah. Somebody's going to get harked tomorrow, and everybody's going to love it.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of this. So then we had a fifth match which surprised the hell out of me. Okay. You had Tyson T-Bone and Wolfgang, this was the big man match.
Now, yes.
Usually big man matches are plodding and slow. Not this one. Holy cow.
Mm-mm.
Did this surprise you?
A little bit, but we got hints of it for Wolfgang in his video.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't break it out till late in the match. So points for storytelling and saving it. And not just going out there and flipping all over the place like one of the participants we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. He threw fists with T-Bone, who is not a finesse guy. He reminds me of a wrestler I saw in Michigan who called himself Gutter.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, T-Bone is one of those guys, is a wrestler who I see somebody in the crowd saying, you know, who let him over the guardrail? He doesn't look like a wrestler.
No, he does not. And that's not good, actually.
It's not, you know, I'm not a firm believer in the quote-unquote Walmart test. But, you know, if you're out there in gear, and I've heard this complaint about Dean Ambrose sometimes. Gear, please.
But Wolfgang did a shooting star press, I believe.
No, he did a senton. He did a senton as his finisher.
Swanton bomb, yes.
Swanton. But the fact that he also has that impish glimmer in his eyes, and I got a Big John Studd vibe from him. But this boy can move.
Yeah. Yeah. I was impressed.
I said yes, please sign Wolfgang. I like him. He's big and cuddly. Anyway,
yeah, like the cat that's on your lap right now. Yes.
How'd you know? Anyway,
the purring that I had that I have to mute. Anyway, so number six match is Joseph Connors and James Drake. While I liked the wrestling in this match, I got the I didn't know who was who vibe to it.
For a little bit, and I feel bad. I actually paused it, but I got up during this match because I wasn't as engaged.
Right.
I mean, the whole ear thing was a really good attempt at keeping a story moving within the match. but you really got to do a lot more if you're going to use that as your story. I hate to say. And these guys had a lot of other things to offer in the ring, so I'm not sure what I was supposed to get. At some point, I couldn't tell you who the face of the heel was.
That's
not
point.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. And here's the thing. With the, and the thing is, Connors won with something called the DLD, which was the Don't Look Down, which was a Uranage flatliner type of move, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. But again, Connors and Drake, they have to just a little bit more sort of, you know, do something with it.
Right.
However, the last two matches did not have that, and boy, did they have face and heel and awesomeness in spades. Mark Andrews, oh, man, oh, man, this kid's good.
He's got 205 Live written all over him. If he doesn't win the tournament, he's already got a job, and he's already got someplace to go. The British skater boy look, I dig it. I'll take it. And the Evan Bourne tights, I'm sorry.
Now, did you see that move late in the match where Maloney was going to give him a suplex? He turned mid-air and then gave him an RKO in that?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
How suplex reversed into a sit-down stunner. Then he's the one who did the shooting star press.
That's right, yes.
And I want to sternly reprimand the handheld cameraman who zoomed in way too damn tight. You got to give him room if he's going to fly.
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, sign Andrews. Send him to 205. Andrews, Rich Swann, money.
Mm. And then we have the final match. Tyler Bate, the extraordinary... Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's Jack Gallagher. He's 19 going on 75.
Seriously, he's 19 going on 30. He his last name may as well be Busick. And he dresses the part outside of the ring, which we saw in his video package. He wears suspenders, for crying out loud.
Yes, he and Jack Gallagher are just basically going, shall we have a spot of tea? Why, yes. Would you like to? They're like Chip and Dale from the,
Put these guys together. Let them out-vaudevillain the vaudevillains.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, Tucker wasn't bad either. He was awesome, too.
No. Tucker was good. He's got some character development to do. And unfortunately, when you're up against somebody with the force of character that Tyler Bate has, that Jack Gallagher vibe, if you're doing it right, you know, Tucker was just there. Tucker was good. Don't get me wrong. He was very good.
But Bate was better. And that's the thing.
But Bate was memorable.
Okay. Now. So then we have the quarterfinal matchups. Do you have that at the moment?
I should have kept a still up from the end of the show.
I should have myself. So it's Tyler Bate versus Jordan Devlin. Here we go. I have that here. Trent Seven versus Wolfgang. Pete Dunne versus Sam Gradwell. And Mark Andrews versus Joseph Connors. Now, so we have that introduced by Nigel McGuinness and Sir William Regal, who got a huge Regal chant and basically said, stop that while silently smiling and going, do it again.
All right, that's enough. But do keep going.
Yes, do keep going. But then we had a beautiful way to get people interested into night two. Right,
like they needed to. These matches were amazing. This was just this was dessert. All of a sudden, Dunn jumps over Cold Cox's opponent,
Gradwell. Yes,
and I'm like, okay, everybody start throwing hands.
They
but
did.
Regal,
they didn't though because
they did.
Because there's a reason for it. There's a reason.
And tell me this reason.
Because William Regal said, don't mess this up. That's all he had to say. I was like, okay. Yes, sir. Right?
Right. Now, let me put on my... I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat for a second, because I've got a conspiracy theory going on in my head.
Go ahead.
We've got... Gladwell was marked from Blackpool, and I think one or two of the other guys were also listed from Blackpool, right?
The only one... Yeah, but he's the only one that I think survived from Blackpool.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay, then I'll take my hat off, because I was going to make the joke that don't mess this up, because I don't need anybody to see that I've got the fix in to get my boys into the tournament.
Yes.
After all, Regal is still a villain.
Yes, exactly. So let's play a little bit of who wins. Okay. All right. So first match. Tyler Bate versus Jordan Devlin. I would advance Tyler Bate myself.
This is a wonderful coin toss for me, because Tyler Bate is a wonderful character. But I kind of give the nod to Devlin, because if he advances, you've got a heel vibe going, and guess what? If he wins the whole thing, there's an instant feud brewing. Mm. If Balor doesn't have anything to do when he gets back, and he will, eventually he's going to go to Jordan Devlin and say, "What in the world did you, you know, what was all that about?"
Right, exactly. Then you have Trent Seven versus Wolfgang.
Mm. You know who wins that match?
The fans.
That's right. These two are going to be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is just going to be a fun match. I don't care who wins this match.
Do you care who wins Dunn Gradwell? Because I do.
That's another tough one. I'm probably with you, and I would give it to Dunn, because Dunn is just killing it as a heel.
Yes.
And people will continue to boo that out of the building. Devlin's has been a very organic turning into a heel. Pete Dunne doesn't need anybody's help, and him and Gravel are going to kill each other.
And I see Mark Andrews advancing. That's the easiest one of the four.
Who's he facing?
Connors.
Sadly, yes. Connors was good. But Mark Andrews, I'm going to remember him.
And then that would set up a Mark Andrews Pete Dunne semifinal. Oh, baby!
Which, no offense, I think Dunne wins that one just on sheer brute force.
Mm. That means you would put Dunne in the finals against whom?
Put Dunne in the finals against Trent Seven or Wolfgang.
Okay, and who wins, Dunn? Are you putting the belt on Dunn?
I know you want to.
Oh! Do you want a heel as the first champion, though?
The heel's running it.
Which heel? Regal? Triple H?
Regal? Triple H? Nigel? Take your pick. Okay, seriously, if I was going to get the ultimate winner, it looks like they've put the most press on Trent Seven. I think that's who they really want to put the belt on.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a face.
Him or Wolfgang would be my picks out of the eight that we've got right now.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Seven, like I said, has him and Wolfgang both have that same little kid glimmer in their eyes. And Trent is TV ready, and Wolfgang is almost TV. The bejeweled brass knuckles that he had in his promo video. What'd you think of that?
Interesting. Put it to you this way. I don't know any of these guys, or I didn't know any of these guys until tonight. But I will tell you, when looking at it here, 1, 2, 3, 4... maybe 5 or 6 of them impressed me.
Yeah. There's a few of these guys that we're saying sign them right now. These are our Cedric Alexanders.
Yes. Which to me, and again, I'll say it again, are Tyler Bate, Wolfgang, Mark Andrews, Pete Dunne, Sam Gradwell.
Mm-hmm.
And throw Tucker in there too.
I think Devlin's going to get in, going to get signed anyway. But, and I won't be mad. I can't be mad about that. But yeah, Wolfgang, yes. Trent, yes. Andrews, yes. Bate, please. Dunn. Well, we got a bunch of faces over here. Mm-hmm. Now, something to watch for in the Wolfgang-Trent Seven match. Wolfgang has made it known that he's willing to cheat.
Right.
So he might be our heel tomorrow.
Could be. He is going to cheat. Yeah.
He's going to cheat like hell. He's going to do it with a smile on his face.
Yeah, exactly. So, as we're going to end this here, because mm-hmm. we pretty much discussed everything, what did you think of the overall of night one of this show?
This was a lot of fun. This was very exciting. And, you know, it's history. It's a wonderful piece of history, and I'm glad that I was available to see it live. That's a huge feather in the cap of the WWE Network. This is a huge push for the UK market overall. If this doesn't get them a couple hundred thousand new subscribers, I'll be very surprised.
This is also a very good bone for Progress and ICW.
Yes,
the main feds that they promoted.
Yes. Who were like, yay, we're on TV. But in the back of their minds, you can see it in their eyes. Please don't take everybody.
Don't suck everybody up. We, you know, there are kids who, you know, haven't been born yet. We can't take everybody. But as we said, this was a very good promotional vehicle for the network, for the two feds involved, and for the wrestlers involved. And for some of them, they did very well tonight. And it's going to be very interesting to see. And maybe tomorrow night, if you're going to be home tomorrow, we can do this again to react as to who the UK champion would be.
Yeah, let's try to meet up tomorrow because I don't have anything planned,
mm-hmm.
and I can't think of any place else I would be on a Sunday unless doesn't matter. The Lions are out of the playoffs.
Yeah, well, so are my Giants. So therefore, we will see you tomorrow night here on Spectrum One with a live reaction to who the UK champion will be. Who do you think will it be? What are they going to do? How are they going to get it that way? We've talked about our picks. Let's see what yours are. For Nikki Heyman, thank you again for just hanging out with me for the next half hour. And I'm going to watch some American football. So we'll talk soon, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night here on Spectrum One.
You got it.